If you have your Bible, turn with us this morning to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. We want to mind the Lord. This text has been on our heart all week. You look for something from God just to sanction it and make sure that you're in the will of God and doing what God wants you to do. And then you get to church and people begin to talk about things and things begin to come up. And boy, God just gives you that assurance that you're right on target. And boy, I just appreciate the Lord for doing that. Amen. Giving us that confidence, giving us that assurance that we are in His will doing that He'd have us to do. 1 Peter chapter 1. We want to begin reading this morning at verse 3. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. If you have your place, stand with us and honor the reading of God's Word. And the Bible says this, it said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom, though now ye see Him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls." As we look at this morning, I'd like to preach for just a little while on this thought. Who stole our joy? Who stole our joy? As I look around today and I see people all around, because people have claimed to be Christians, people claim to know the Lord, but they're downcast, and it seems like there's a lot of sadness in the day that we live. There's a lot of downtroddenness. There's a lot of people that's real indecisive in their life. There's a lot of people that just don't seem to have joy in their souls. There's a lot of people that ought to be rejoicing in the Lord, but we just don't seem to have that joy like we are too. But Peter here is talking to these folks, and he begins to lay it out, these different churches, about how they can have that joy, why they should have that joy. Don't let nothing steal your joy. I believe something has come along in our Christian life, and it steals our joy. Has your joy been stolen this morning? Do you not have the joy that you used to have? Do you remember the day that you got saved? Do you remember the day and the hour that you asked Jesus to forgive your sins and come in your heart? Do you remember that day that the Holy Ghost of God nudged you and He told you that you're saved and you belong to Jesus, and that excitement and that joy that filled your heart overflowing? What about that joy? Who stole that joy? What happened to the joy? We ought to be joyous today in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We ought to have joy. But notice what Peter says. He said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope." He said that day, listen, youngins, he said, even though adversities everywhere, even though it seems like trials and tribulations are upon us, he said, we have a living hope today, a lively hope in Christ Jesus. It's not dead, but it's alive and it's real. We have hope that's out of this world. We have hope that comes from God. Amen. It's a hope that's not generated here, but it's generated somewhere else. I want to say it's not an earthly hope that we have. Amen. If hope was not in the earth, if hope of this earth was our goal, we would be disappointed. I would be disappointed, brother. I would let myself down. I would. Well, let me just give you an example. When I was in high school, they give you this thing and they say, "Hey, listen, we want you to fill out what you plan to do with your life." Any of you fill that out? What you planned? What do you wanted to be? Where you wanted to go? What you wanted to do? And boy, I put down that, boy, I loved old cars. And I loved, Brother Chris, I loved hot rods. And I put down on there, boy, I want to be an auto mechanic, and I want to fix up hot rods, and I want to fix up people's car. I want to have my own shop. I want to be have my own business. I want to do, but you know what? If I built my hopes on that earthly stuff, they would have come crashing down because I haven't attained to none of them. Amen? I haven't attained none of them. That was my hope. That's what I was looking forward to. That's what I was desiring to be. But self got up there a little ways further and decided that wasn't what was meant for me to do. Hey, listen, I went to AB Tech, took auto mechanics for 2 years, got in there and just almost finished. Didn't graduate, but I almost finished, and I got in maintenance where I worked, and I was making a whole lot more money than auto mechanics. And I said, well, crazy, it'd be crazy crawling over greasy cars when I can work and not get nowhere near as dirty and make more money. And things was a-changing. We was coming out. When I was in, I'm not telling my age, but when I was going auto mechanics, they still had carburetors. Amen. They still had points and condensers. Amen. That's how. And during they was transitioning this electronic stuff. And they said, son, hey, you can go to them. You're going to finish this, but said you're going to have to go to school and you're going to have to stay in school. Now that's what I wanted for me. School wasn't my parte, you might say. I didn't want to go to school from now on. So I chose a different. I said all that to say this. If my hope was in worldly things, I would have been very disappointed in myself from the get-go. But I want to say this morning on the authority of God, Brother Rock, my hope ain't in this world. I've got a godly hope. I've got a heavenly hope. My hope is in the Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, who come to me and saved my soul from the devil's hell, delivered me from myself unto a heavenly kingdom. Amen. If I was trusting in my hope, I wouldn't have no hope. It would be a hope that was fleeting, a hope that I was always chasing, a hope that I was always trying to attain to. What about your hope today? I believe the reason that we're so sad, I believe the reason that we're so forlorn is because we're chasing a hope that we can't attain to. Amen? We're chasing these worldly things that we can't ever get a hold of. But the thing is, if we put our trust in the Lord, amen, hey, listen, I don't have much. I got a little house on a shack on a hill and a little bit of property. I got a brand new well. Glory to God. Amen. Living waters coming out of the rock. Praise God. Amen. But praise God, I ain't put my hope in that. I'm just a pilgrim and a sojourner, a passing through. I'm headed to a promised land. I've got a home in glory. Praise God. A building not made with hands. Amen. That's my hope today. I've got it in that living one. See, if I put my hope on these things of earth, I'd be disappointed. But as I got out of school and I began to go further down the road, I began to realize that those hopes that I had, those desires I had, weren't panning out for me. It wasn't the way that I needed to go. But I want to say, as I walk further with Jesus, I walk farther with Him, I realize that my hope lies in heaven. I've got a heavenly hope. Praise God. And now listen to what he said, how do you have that? You said, Pastor, how do you have that heavenly hope? How do you have that lively or that living hope? I'm glad you asked. He said, we have it by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Amen? Because He got up, we have hope. Yes, we don't have to stay dead in our trespasses and sins. We have hope in the Lord Jesus Christ that we can rise above that also. Why? Because He did. He is our blessed hope today. Christ in us is that hope of glory. That hope of attaining to a higher realm of our life, to a higher aspect for ourselves. Amen? Don't get caught up in where you are now. Don't get caught up in what the world says you have to be. I want to say God says you can be better. Yeah. Amen? God says you can be more than what the world wants you to be. You can attain to more than what the world has for you. If we just trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and make Him the Lord of our life. That darkness that's in us, that gloom and that doom, let it fade away and let the light of God shine in our hearts. Amen. Victory in Jesus. Listen, I don't know if maybe nobody's ever told you, Robert, we've won. A child of God, we've won. We belong to Jesus. We've got victory. As far as if you're a born-again believer, you've already crossed the finish line in the eyes of God. Amen. So just keep on fighting that good fight of faith. You say, well, preacher, I sin and come short every day. Sure you do. But that's just old flesh. God don't save your flesh. Your flesh is wicked and vile. Paul said, that I would, I do not, and that I would not, that I do. He said, I'm in a fight. There's a battle. Amen. I'm in a struggle. He said, I'm in a strait betwixt. He said, I'm in a bad position. Amen. He said, I can't get past it within myself. But I'm glad he got over there and he said, but wait a minute. But Christ Jesus, my Lord, that's in me. He's already helped me to overcome the situations. He's already helped me to overcome that drudgery of life that I feel is pulling me down. Because I'm not bound by this old flesh no more. Amen. I'm controlled by the Lord Jesus Christ in the Spirit in me. The Spirit of man, that gives us life and move and has our being. That God will take back to Himself in a few days. Amen. Ecclesiastes 12:7 says that this old body will go back to dust when you come, but the Spirit, amen, the part of man, that immaterial part that gives us life and breath and how we live and move and have our being, he said it goes back to God. What does that mean to me and you? That means He's in control of it. That inner part of us, that it makes us who we are, God's in control of that part. And hey, if He's going to be in control of it, we might as well just submit ourselves to Him. Because He says if we submit ourselves to Him, trusting in the blood and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, that He'll raise us up just like Jesus got up.
Yeah, amen.
Amen? He'll raise us up also. How will He raise us up? He says in verse 4, that He'll raise us up to an inheritance incorruptible. And He said an inheritance. How many of you is looking forward to an inheritance? Amen? I know my wife always says when her rich uncle passes away, amen, I didn't know she had any. We're still looking for him. Amen? But I'm not looking for that inheritance. I'm looking for that inheritance I have. An inheritance, the Bible said, that's incorruptible. You know what that means? That means it's death-proof. Death don't have no power on our inheritance, Brother Bill.
Amen.
Brother Jeff, death don't have no power over our inheritance we have in the Lord. It's ours. Death don't have no power over it. It don't control us. It don't dictate to us. Because we have victory in Jesus. So we have an inheritance that's death-proof. It's incorruptible. We have an inheritance that's undefiled. That means it's sin-proof. Amen? Well, preacher, you mean we can live any way we want to, and we still have? I won't say if you're a child of God, you can live any way you want to. But I'll say if you've been born again by the blood of Jesus Christ, your want to's a change.
Amen.
Amen. Something as big as the Holy Ghost of God moves into your heart and begins to dictate to you what's right and what's wrong. Your want to's will change.
Amen.
I believe that's why our youngins, amen, this youth choir, they get up here and they sing. And boy, I appreciate the job that Miss Susan and Miss Taryn and Brother Roberts are doing with them and these others that help. Well, what a blessing it is, because they get up here and they sing from their heart.
Amen.
Why do they do it? Because they've been changed. The Lord's are changing them from what they used to be to what they want to be. They're getting their eyes fixed off of the world and on Jesus. The Lord's beginning to change them from the inside out, to mold them, make them in likeness and the image of a holy God. Makes a difference. Amen. They get up there and they smiles on their face. Joy in their heart and tears flow from their eyes. That's, you know, your eyes are the outlet of the heart. Amen. The outlet of the heart. And they get up there and them not tears of sadness. Them's tears of joy. Because they realize what God's got for them. They realize what God's doing for them. And boy, what a blessing. I tell you, they get to weeping and appraising God, raising them little hands. And boy, I tell you, I about get beside myself.
Amen.
Can't contain it no more. Amen. Praise the Lord. But he said it's undefiled. It's made sin-proof. That's what's happening to our youngins. They're getting here and they're getting in the Word of God. They're realizing that they've got an inheritance in the Lord. And that they don't have to go in the world. They don't have to live like the world. They don't have to partake in the sin. Amen. You can stay chaste in this world. You can stay in a way that's pleasing to God. You can walk in a path that's right and according to the eyes of God. And they're realizing that. Amen. But the old world and the devil's out there and he's a pulling. And he's a tugging. He's trying to draw them in. He's trying to draw them back. He's trying to draw them away. Every one of us face the same temptations. Amen. Every day all of us face the temptations of this world. But God has made us, He's taken that sin part of us and He's turned it around. He's made us where we can realize that the world's doing that. We can understand what the devil tried to do. We can begin to acknowledge and know the way that he works. So we can prepare ourselves to do battle against the adversary. I won't say this morning, the devil's the adversary. Amen. He don't like you. You say, well, he allows me to do. No, he don't. He pulls you into it. He makes you do that because it defiles you and brings reproach on the name of God. But we need to remember that God said to be holy, for I am holy. Amen. Holy living never hurt nobody. Doing right never hurt nobody. Doing right will help you. It'll encourage you. It'll uplift you. It'll give you your joy back. Where's our joy at? Why don't we have joy? Because we need to. We're not following in the will of God. But boy, when we get in the will of God and we get doing that that's pleasing to a holy God, we begin to realize this inheritance that's incorruptible and it's undefiled and it fades not away. That means it's time proof. Amen. It's eternal with God. We don't have to get hooked up in this world. We don't have to say, well, we just got these few days. No, we've got eternity with the Lord. Amen. We've got a blessed hope, that lively hope, that living hope, because Jesus got up, because of that resurrection day. We have hope in the Lord that the world don't have. And I like this part because he says, and that fadeth not away, it's reserved in heaven for you. You got a reservation.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And God's guarding that. That's what it means. Guarding. Guarded. It's reserved. It's guarded for you. God's got a place for you. God's got a purpose for you. God has a plan for you in heaven. And it's guarded for you. It's there. God is protecting it. And I think what the problem is today is we've got this mindset, well, preacher, I don't know if I'll make it or not. I don't know if I have the staying power to stay in there and hold on to God, through this thing, through these tests and trials and tribulations. I don't know if I have what it takes. Well, I want to tell you today, it's not about you. Amen. He said that He's preserved us a place. He said it's incorruptible, undefiled, and faded not away. He said time don't have no control of it. He said it's reserved for you. Amen. If you've got a reservation, that's sure. You don't have to worry about them getting it mixed up. You don't have to worry about them giving it to somebody else. That reservation that you've got in the Lord Jesus Christ through your name being written in the Lamb Book of Life, praise be to God, nobody can alter that. But I know we get out of the will of God and we go in the wrong direction. I know it breaks God's heart. Amen. And a chastening power of God, if you're truly born again, will be on you. God will chasten you. He'll tell you that you're doing wrong and that you need to do right, and He'll show you the right way and help you to walk therein. Amen. He'll do that. Hey, and when you begin to walk in the way that God shows you to walk, you begin to get your joy back. You begin to get excited again. Amen. And you begin to get the joy that God speaks about in the Word of God. The joy that God gives to you, as He talks about in Matthew 25. The joy that He gives down to us. Amen. That joy He wants for us. You say, well, preacher, how do I know that I'm going to make it? How do I know that I'm going to get through this thing? Because of who's got a hold of us. Because of the one that's keeping us. Verse 5 says, who are kept by the power of God. So I want to say this one. You don't keep yourself.
No, sir.
Amen. It's not about how good you are. He said, well, preacher, if it's not about how good we are, then how do we get to heaven? It's about the blood of Jesus Christ being applied to your life. It's about trusting and believing, putting your faith in Him who's overcome it all. Amen? What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying this. Listen to me. It's not about us holding on to God, Brother Rex. It's about God that's got a hold of us.
Amen.
Amen. It's about God. Hey, listen, it's like when you was a little kid. You remember when you was a little kid? Samantha and George, I remember when they was little. And we'd get down there to the street corner, me and them and my mama and their mother. And we'd get to the street corner and we'd say, now get it. I'd say, George, get a hold of my hand. And Teresa would say, Samantha, get a hold of my hand. And they'd get a hold of her hand and say, now hold on to my hand while we cross the street. And we'd start across that street. But them little old youngins, you know what? By the time they got to about the middle of that yellow line, the middle of that road, them little old youngins sometimes would forget about what they were supposed to be doing. They'd forget about what was taking place and the danger that could be approaching. And sometimes they'd start to let go of that grip. Amen? You know what I'm talking about, you youngins that got youngins. They'd start to let go and they'd start to kind of pull away. But you know what? You weren't really trusting them to hold on to you anyway. That mama, that daddy, you had that grip on them and you weren't going to let them go no way, no how. That's what God does for us, youngins. He's got a hold of us. Glory be to God, and He'll not let go of you. Praise God. You can't hold on to Him, but He's got you. Praise God. Praise God, He got you by your hand. You can't get away from God. Amen. Jesus said, you're in my Father's hand. He said, you're covered by the blood. Lord Jesus Christ, sweet Holy Ghost of God comes along and breathes on you, whispers, tells you how to do, how to act, how to live, how to function. And Jesus said, you're in my Father's hand. And He said, there's no man can pluck you out. Amen. When God gets a hold of you, God puts you where He wants you to be. Amen. Ain't nobody can pull you out of His hand. If you're a child of God, praise the Lord. You're not counting on Him to hold on to you. You're not counting on you to hold on to Him. You're counting on Him to hold on to you. But we keep trying to hold on. People saying, and we say it all the time, just hold, keep holding on to Jesus. Keep holding on to Jesus. No, we need to keep looking to Jesus. Trusting in Jesus. Have faith in Jesus. Believing in Jesus. Because He's the one that's got a hold of us. There was an old preacher said one time, said they was a fraternity in a college, and said they was getting ready to do an initiation. And they took this fella out, and they took this long rope, and they tied a knot in the end of it. And they got a hold of that fella, and he told him to get a hold of that knot. And they picked him up, and they began to lower him down in this well. And he said, well, these fellas won't hurt me. They won't let no harm come to me. But they began to lower him down into that well, and he went down and down and down and down into that darkness. He couldn't see nothing around in total black darkness. All he could do is look up and see the moon. And he looked up and he seen them fellas. He was way down there and he was thinking, oh my goodness, I know they won't let me go. I'll be all right. But then he said he seen them. He said he seen them take that rope and that bar that went across where that old pot used to be. He said they wrapped that rope around there and they slid a knot in it. And he said they disappeared. And said here he was hanging by that knot down in that well. Amen. And said he hung there till his fingers was aching, till his shoulders began to ache. And he could he held there for 10 minutes, for 15 minutes. And he began to cry and he began to weep. And he began to say, I can't hang on. Fellas, please pull me out. I can't hang on. And he began to burn. His shoulders began to burn. His muscles began to give out. And he said, please. And he begged and he cried. I can't hang on. Finally, he couldn't hold on no more. He couldn't hold on no more, and he finally let go. And he dropped about 2 inches. Exactly what they knew he'd drop when he let go. But I said all that to say this. Sometimes we hold on to God, so we try to hold on within ourselves. We try to hold on within instead of just letting Him hold on to us. Just trusting, believing in faith that God's got us and God will protect us. God will help us. He's ever-present help. But we just got to let Him hold on to us. We got to realize that He is holding on to us and that He will not let you go. Amen. Boy, if we could get a hold of that, we'd get our joy back. Where's your joy today? God's got a hold of you. God's holding on to you. You don't have to hold on to Him. He said you're kept by the power of God, an almighty power, an almighty God who created the universe, cast the stars off the end of His fingertips. Amen. That's who's got a hold of you. If He can control this whole universe, keep the sun a spinning orbit and keeping that a burning as a big old fireball for centuries and centuries and age without end, okay, you don't think He can take care of you? God can take care of you. Especially if you're a child of God, because you're in the S-O-N. Bless the Lord. He said, well, preacher, how am I kept? How does God keep me? I'm glad you asked. He said He keeps you through faith unto salvation. What is faith? That's just believing and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. You mean, preacher, I don't have to do all these mighty works? I don't have to do certain deeds? No. You trust in the Lord Jesus Christ with all every fiber in your being. and God does the rest. Amen? He's prepared you a place, an inheritance, and He's reserved it for you. And He's kept it. Glory to God. He's keeping it by His power. Praise God. Now look what He says. He says, you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. You say, well, preacher, what if I mess up? What if you mess up? You say, Lord, forgive me, an old sinner. That's what we do. Because if you'll notice, He said, who are kept ready. Did you get that? He said, by the power of God, Brother Kevin, we are kept ready. That means God's continued. Glory to God. You get a hold of that while you take you a spell. He said, through the power of God, He said, we are kept ready. In other words, God's continuously working on us. God working on you. Does God work on you? Holy Ghost of God stir your heart. He tell you when you're wrong and when you're right. He shows you what you need to do and what you don't need to do. That's being kept by God. Amen. So He keeps us ready constantly. He's constantly working on us. He's constantly moving our hearts and our lives. He's constantly making those little changes. We're just like a fine-tuned automobile. He's constantly tweaking us so that we run true. Amen? Because we're kept by the Lord Jesus Christ. We're in His power. We're not trusting in ourselves. We're trusting in Him. He said, it's ready to be revealed in the last time. That's at the redemption. When He comes to take us unto Himself, that He's already purchased. Hello? Do you know Jesus? You say, well, preacher, I'm lost. I don't know you. But He's already paid for you. Paid for you on the cross of Calvary. He bought you. Man, all you got to do is just give yourself unto Him. Trust in Him. Amen? You paid in full. But listen to what He says. Now Peter's talking to him, and now this is where we lose our joy. I believe this is, we've lost our joy because of the things that we come up against in this world. We have a lot of obstacles that come up, a lot of trials and tribulations. Verse 6, it says, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Now he said you realize what Jesus done for you. You've accepted Him. You accepted that what He's laid up for you. You know what you've got in God. But he said, you have these seasons of discouragement, seasons of trials, seasons of tribulation that you go through. And he said, if you ain't careful, he said, it's seasons of heaviness. And he said, if you ain't careful, you let it bring you down. Oh, me. Have you ever been there? Trials, tribulation, they bring you down. Amen. Your family, your friends, things just start going askew and you just can't figure it out why God's allowing you to go through this. Things happen in your life, things that you don't understand, and you say, well, God, why? But he said, we got these trials and tribulations. But you know what's wrong with us today? What's wrong with most Christians today? We want a smooth ride. Amen. We want a smooth ride. We don't want to feel the bumps in the road. So we're seeking for a smooth ride all the way through, and we don't want no trials or no tribulations. We don't want no hardships. But it's kind of like this. You've got a destination that you want to get to, and you go in and you go down to the car lot, and a fella says, I've got a vehicle here. He said, boy, it's a fine one. And it's had the shocks are super duper on it. He said, we can guarantee, Brother Chris, that we can get you from here to where you're going, your final destination, that you'll feel a few bumps in the road along the way, but we guarantee you that we can get you to your destination. And you say, well, you know, I'm kind of tender and soft. I don't want to go through all those bumpy places. I don't want to have to endure all those potholes that I'm going to have to feel. They said, you go on down to another place, and they said, we've got just the thing for you. We've got this brand new hovercraft. And that thing, it goes up in the air, and it'll float along that highway, and it'll get you down there. And now we're not exactly sure that we can get that it'll go as far as you want to go, and it'll get you to your destination. But you won't feel a bump in the road on the way. And when we get you to the end, now we're not sure we can bring you in safely, because this thing ain't been tried a whole lot. You may have a Christ landing away from your destination. You see what I'm saying? But you know what? Most people just say, I want that smooth ride. But we don't realize it. It may not get us where we want to be. And it may be a Christ landing. But I tell you what, I'd rather take that fine thing that says it'll get me from point A to point B. I may have to go through the bumps and the potholes, but praise be to God, I know I'll reach my destination. Amen. You know what our problem is? Why we don't have no joy? We want to go through life without any bumps. Amen. But he said we just count it all joy. When we have these trials and tribulations, when things come our way, when these bumps in the road, Brother Bill, praise be to God, we can't quit, we can't give up on God because there's too much riding on it.
Amen.
So we just take those rides, we just take those bumps in stride. Brother Warren, we just take them one at a time, praise God, as God gives them, sends them our way, because you know what? God is our pilot in that thing. He's a guiding us through, and He will not let no harm come to us. He'll be there with us. He'll deliver us safe to our destination. I'd rather have a few bumps along the road, amen, than to not have no bumps at all and miss my destination. My destination's heaven. That's where I want to be. I don't want to miss. I don't want to be left out. I want to make my destination, amen. But we don't want to have those bumps. In verse 7, he said, that's the trial of your faith. He said, in our faith. He said, well, preacher, if we have faith in the Lord, trust Him, you mean there's going to be trials? Sure they will. There'll be trials and temptations in our lives. That's what life is. That's what happened when sin come in the garden. It's passed down to us. It's part of the curse. It's trials and tribulations that we face. But I want to say today in the authority of God that we've got God with us through those trials. We have to face them with the Lord. In Romans 8 and 28, the Bible says this, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Amen? So what are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying that the trial of your faith, it's not that we can see the good work in the works. God didn't say that we'd be able to see the good, but He said that we know that these good will come out of their trials and tribulations. Everything we face, God will use it for our good, to grow us and to show us His love and make us stronger and give us rewards and to help us to grow spiritually closer to Him. Amen? He said, well, I don't always see that. He never promised you He'd see it. He said, but you can know on the authority of God that it will. Amen? That God does, those trials, the tribulations. Because the Bible says that tribulation worketh patience. Patience worketh experience. And experience worketh hope. Hope is that expectation of good things to come. Amen? So if we didn't have that, if we didn't have the tribulations, then we wouldn't learn patience. If we didn't have patience, then we wouldn't grow closer to the Lord. And we wouldn't realize that there's some hope out there that we can have in what's going to take place in the end. Amen? We can't see it. But we have a promise of God. You have a promise of God today in Christ Jesus our Lord. That hope that He talks about in your Lord Jesus Christ. He said, whom you have not seen, you love. Do you love Jesus today? Amen. Do you love Him? Is he the Lord of your life? That's the way it ought to be. We ought to love Jesus. He said, whom you have not seen, you love. In whom, though now you see Him not. Now here's where the rubber meets the road. He said, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen? He said, you can't see Jesus, but you know He's there with you. You're trusting in Him. You're believing in Him. That believing means to trust in, to rely in, and adhere to. He said, you're trusting in the Lord. You realize He's the one that's bringing you through this whole walk of life. He's the one that's going to deliver you, amen, through these trials and tribulations. He said, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Now, if you think about this, you think about the believing faith. Look at in Genesis, when old Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, They said, "King, you do whatever you want to. We're just going to stay with God." And God allowed them to be cast in that fiery furnace that was heated seven times hotter than it was ever been. So hot that even the men that cast them into the fiery furnace were slain. But they was cast in there. They never backed up. They never give in. They went into that fire. But I want to say, when they was in that fire, when they was in that trial, when they was in that time, they said that that's when Jesus was with them and Jesus walked with them. That fourth man in the fire, it was Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Where's your joy today? We can have that same fire. We can say to ourselves, "Lord, just keep me in the fire so that I can see Jesus, so I can see Him more. Just keep me in the fire." And I want to say, old Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they was in that fire, they didn't come out on their own because they was with the Lord. You ever notice that? They didn't come out. They didn't come out till old Nebuchadnezzar looked in there and he said, "I see four men loose walking in the fire." Amen. And they said, "Hey, you that serve the Most High God, come out and come hither." Boy, when they said that, then they come out. They didn't come out. They told them to. Amen. They was just a strolling in the fire. Amen. Because they was walking with Jesus. I tell you, the fires, the temptations, it may want to take our joy today. But I want to say this in closing. We have a living hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't put our confidence in ourselves. We've got our confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that'll lead us out. He's the one that'll deliver us. He's the one that'll keep us and keep us safe. He's the one that'll see us safely to our appointment.